Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our 6:30 Bible study, Wednesday Bible study session. It is just great to be a part of such a wonderful opportunity to study the Word of God and to just be enlightened.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, it takes all of us doing the work of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to get started. We're going to get our prayer, our scripture in our prayer. And then once we do that, we are in Matthew chapter 4, and we are going to continue the format. And I kind of got excited last week and didn't stick with the format. And the person that reads gets to explain that we're going to read verse 6 through 10 tonight. And we'll kind of discuss verses 1 through 5 and then read verses 6 through 10 tonight. And then we will, the person that reads, and anyone can read, will give their input on what they have read. And then we will open the floor and move forward, okay? So let's go ahead and start with our scripture and prayer. And we'll be underway for our Bible study for this evening.
But
I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Isaiah 41:13.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, we come this evening with bowed heads and humble hearts. We come thanking you, Lord, for another chance to learn about your word that it can help us in times like this. Oh, Lord, we just pray today that you keep us humble and keep us kind-hearted, tender-hearted towards each other. Keep us, my Heavenly Father, seeking diligence in your word that it will teach us your way and not our way, or not the ways of the world. We pray, my Heavenly Father, that we will lean and depend on you every step of the way, recognizing, Lord, that you are God and beside you there is no other. So much going on in this world, Lord, sometimes our hearts can't even comprehend all the things that are going on. But I know, Lord, that you sit high and you look low. And you know everything that's going on. And, Lord, you will fix it in due time. So, Lord, in the meantime, I pray that you give us the kind of heart that we need to love one another as you have told us to. Give us the heart, my Heavenly Father, to give you, therefore, into all the world and teach and preach and baptize in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we'll learn how to lean and depend on you. Have mercy upon us. Oh, God, there's people this evening, Lord, that's sick, and some lost their loved ones, and some worried, Lord, and some don't know where their children are, nor do they know where their parents are. But, oh, God, I just thank you, Lord, for being Almighty God, God of all seeing eyes. You know everything, Lord. So you know what's going on. So have mercy upon your peoples, Lord. Have mercy upon us. Truly, we need your mercy, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you just lead us and guide us in the way that you have for us to go. Teach us, Lord, how to love one another. And teach us, my Heavenly Father, how to be obedient to your word. And teach us, my Heavenly Father, to listen. And listen and listen that we might hear something that will help us to turn from our sinful ways. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We just glorify you, Lord. We pray for everyone on the prayer line tonight. You know what we all stand in need of, Lord. So keep your loving arms around us. Keep us humble and in your care. And, Lord, I just thank you right now for that teacher, Reverend Woods. I pray, God, that you will just keep giving him the encouraging words, that he will diligently seek your word, that you can tell us about your word, and we can open up our hearts to receive your word. Oh, God, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory tonight, Lord. Was it in Jesus' name that we pray? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful prayer and scripture. All right, we're going to jump right in. All right, who's our volunteer reader for tonight for verses 6 through 10?
Matthew.
Sister Dumas? Were you the one going to give us our verses tonight, 6 through 10?
No, I didn't know.
Okay, no, somebody called. Somebody volunteered.
That was me. I called. I didn't want to call her name.
The floor is open. Anyone that wants to read, you can read verses 6 through 10, and then you can also, when you read it, then you can share with the class what are you seeing out of that. And you can also incorporate it verse 1 through 5, which is tied to 6 through 10.
And you said start at what verse?
Verse 6.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 6.
Okay, it says, oh, where's chapter? I better get to the light. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Verse 6 says, and said he to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give the angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto them, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. You said, stop at what verse?
10. Go ahead and put it in read verse 10.
Okay. Then Jesus said unto him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I read the verse 6 of the 4th chapter down to the 10th verse, and it coming from the New King James Version. May the Lord bless and hear the word. And,
all right. So
I got carried away, ain't I?
No. You can go right on it now. If you want to, you can share what you're getting out of those verses, or anyone else on the floor can. But the reader gets the first opportunity to share what they're seeing from that particular passage of scriptures.
Pastor Wood.
Yes, ma'am.
Pastor Wood.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Miss Bennett. And what I'm getting out of these verses is that the devil is tempting Jesus, trying to tempt Jesus to bow down and worship him. And he's wanting Jesus, he's quoting. I see here where he has quoted, this verse says, verse 6 says that Satan told Jesus that God should give his angel charge concerning thee. Mm-hmm. But and he was quoting Psalms 91, but it's written in Psalms 91. It is written in Psalms 91 that it says that he shall give his angels charge over you. But Satan was quoting that verse, was quoting the scripture out of context.
Great
so he says concerning. He says concerning and concerning. See, God was going to give his angels charge over him to keep him in all his ways. But Satan was telling Jesus that God shall give his angels charge concerning him. And that concerning is not, it's out of context on what the scripture says.
All right.
So Jesus was rebuking him. And Jesus was letting him know that it is written that he should
That's
not
right.
worship and bow down to him. So this is what I'm getting out of it. Satan was trying to get him.
Anyone else?
I would like to add that Satan, we know Satan came to steal and destroy. And we as Christians have to be able to identify when Satan is at work. And we have to be just like Jesus and not bow down to the wicked, not bow down to the sinners, not bowing down to the things of this world. Because we are not of the world. We are not carnal. We are Christian. We are spiritual. And we think and walk spiritual and not of the world. We will not bow down to Satan and his word.
Amen.
And also, Pastor Woods, when we look at each time when Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus remained obedient to his Heavenly Father. And this just gives us an illustration because we can look back in James 4 where it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
And
Pastor Woods.
And also, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Deaconess.
Okay. And also, Pastor Woods, it shows that in the account with Jesus, Satan used these basic temptations that he always used when he tempting the people of God, like he used in the Garden of Eden. Lust of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life. And then the first one, he asked him to turn those stones into bread. That was the lust of the eyes. I mean, the lust of the flesh because he was hungry. And now this one, he's doing the lust of the eyes, trying to get him to do a miracle for the Jewish people.
Good job. All right. Y'all on this thing tonight.
Pastor Woods, I would like I want to agree with the first young lady that came on that talked about Satan quoting Psalms 91 verses 11 and 12. But what we mm-hmm. take from this is that the devil knows the Bible just as well as anybody else. He's quoting it, trying mm-hmm. to quote it to Jesus, but he's using it out of context. But then Jesus mm-hmm. comes back and quotes scripture to him again the right way to explain to him why what he's saying does not make sense. And then as we move down, we see where Satan asks, I think it's in verse 8, the devil taking them up into exceedingly high mountains. And here, I saw it on the surface as the devil trying to give Jesus something that Jesus will ultimately own anyway. But when you look at it deeper, what Satan is looking for here is he's looking for, if you read exactly what he says, "All I want you to fall down and worship me." This is what Satan was looking for from the start. He tried to compare himself to God. So he wants praise and worship just as much as God wants praise and worship. So what he did here was kind of slick. He tried to give Jesus a way to circumvent the cross. And we know he can make it happen because he is the king of this world. So he could have given him that. He is the king over the earthly world. So he didn't want Jesus to go to the cross so that if he did go to the cross, we already know what would happen. All men would be drawn to him. So Satan was being a little slicker than just trying to give him, saying, "Hey, I can give you all this." Well, ultimately, it would be Jesus's anyway. But the ultimate point here was not to allow Jesus to go to the cross where all men would be raised to him.
Amen.
Amen. Very good. You guys are on fire tonight.
Amen.
Awesome.
But if we notice each time, Satan tried to play that trick on Jesus, Jesus used the scripture on him and let him know that it is written, the word is the word of God, even though Jesus is the word and was the word. He was saying it is written. Satan could not make him bow down.
Now, for the entire class, when Jesus uses the term, when he uses the phrase "it is written," what is he referring to?
The word God.
What time frame is he referring to? I should say.
It has already been said.
Before he was crucified.
Bingo. Bingo, Sister Dumas was, listen, he's quoting prophecy. The Old Testament. Right, prophecy. So he's letting Satan know that, look, I know what was said before you open your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
This it is written, says God has already spoken this. The thing that's interesting about this, every time Jesus would attack him, he would attack him with what's already been said by God.
Mm, yes, sir.
Not what was said by him, because you remember, Jesus never put himself in a position that he was to be worshipped. Have y'all noticed that?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Throughout his entire ministry, he was never trying to make it about him. Never. Not one time. Everything he did, he said, so that my Father can get the glory.
Yes, sir.
It was never so I can get the glory. I'm going to the cross so I can get the glory. None of that. Even to the point where he said, Father, is it any other way we can do this? So here we go. Satan, again, like you said earlier, all y'all said it earlier, Satan was quoting, but he was misquoting on purpose.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And please don't think he don't know the Bible verbatim. And here it is. That's what he does. He misquotes. You'll be amazed at. It's important for us, especially when we're in class and when we're. That's why you hear me say this over and over to the family. Don't amen to something you're not clear on. Because if it sounds good, it is now manipulating your process. And it literally manipulates your relationship with God. Because if it's not written, then it's not valid. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if it's not written, it has no. It's not valid, and it doesn't have any value to God. So you know, what's really neat here is the fact that all of you picked up right away on the fact that right out of the gate, and here's the thing that really shows you how important this was. Jesus was still standing in the Jordan, still wet, out of Matthew's 3, right into verse 1 of Matthew's 4. Because remember, God had just told him, this is my son. The dove came down and the sky opened up and the voice of God said, this is my son who I'm well pleased. And right away, then Jesus was led up of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now let's talk about, for 1 second, the Our Father prayer, the Lord's Prayer. What do you see in the Lord in the Lord's Prayer that we're reading about right now? Something that stands out more than anything else.
Let me see.
Deliver me from temptation.
Lead us not into temptation.
There you go. Because it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Now, one of the things you must understand, it was intended that Jesus would be tempted right from the start, following the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit, y'all, hear me now, that led him to the area of temptation, which is why when he said, lead us not into temptation, he was asking his Father, don't let him go through what I went through.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So when we think about the model prayer is a blueprint of how to pray. Most people think that you have to say you can, and it's nothing wrong with saying the Lord's Prayer verbatim. You can say it word for word. But he's letting you know, don't leave out any of these things that I'm telling you about. Don't leave out, in your prayer, don't leave out any of these things. Because most people get so caught up in how to pray, they miss the opportunity of having a conversation with our Father.
Mm-hmm.
Your prayer. He said, just remember, we're talking to the Father. That's why he said, I have a Father who are in heaven. How be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. So he's letting you know that everything in this prayer, as you pray, include these things. Thank you for the food. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your will being done on this earth. However you pray, that model is setting it up. Are you following me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So always know, don't, because I hear people, and I've heard people say it all the time, I don't know how to pray. I'm afraid to pray. I'm nervous about praying. It's just a conversation. And the model prayer says, just include these things. That's all he's asking. And remember that it's about the Father. That's the first thing. And again, he never made it about himself. Not one time. When you pray, pray in this manner. Okay? And so again, the floor is open again. Who else want to expound on what you see between verses 1 through 10? What else is there? There's a couple other things that stands out real neat. What about verse 4? What do we see in verse 4? I just want to use that one for it. Okay, verse 4. Somebody read that and then tell me about it. Just read verse Matthew 4 and 4 and tell me what it's saying.
Yes, but he answered.
Go ahead.
It said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Out of the mouth of who?
Out
God.
Of the mouth of God. And I believe that this is saying that you don't just always want to get and get or eat and eat, but you want to live by the word of God. You don't live by the word of wanting and things like that, but you just live by what God's word says, by every word that come out. He said, I'm just using that. He said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. That's what you don't do. You don't go and say, and do these things and think it's going to be all right because you're taking that way. But you got to live by the word of God, what God said in his word. Give us this day our daily bread. You know.
Very good.
You know, but he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And another thing to bring out in that is we need more than just our physical needs met. We need our spiritual, our mental needs met. Yeah. And that's what he's meaning, you know, not just to satisfy our physical needs, but we also need for our mental.
Absolutely.
The source of bread is more. The source from which the bread comes from is more important than the bread itself.
Right, exactly.
Good job. Y'all are all over this thing. Somebody go to Deuteronomy 8 and 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
When you get there, somebody read that for us. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3.
Deuteronomy chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 3.
Verse 3.
He humbled you and allowed you to be hungry.
I hear
you. And fed you with manna, a substance. Manna is a substance that my mother said, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. So that he might make you understand by personal experience that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord.
Amen. So again, we just open up where it just talked about, and both of y'all talk about, two or three of y'all just explained that, because it's talking about your spiritual needs. Okay, so it's first speaking of the teaching of the Spirit of the Scriptures, declaring it is written, and we see this as the first teaching is to Satan and not man. Okay? That first teaching, he's straightening Satan right there. And here it is, way back, listen, in Deuteronomy. It is already then, here it is, in the Old Testament. And remember, we talked about this when we started to, down this road of the New Testament. We were going to watch and see how the Old Testament reflects the New Testament. See, the thing that we have to understand is God knows all, sees all. He's everywhere. He's always been. So there's no new nothing under the sun. So by the time Satan come with his little tricks, it's amazing that God had already written and had the prophets write, because he knew this moment was coming. He knew his son was going to be tempted. He knew all of this stuff was coming. And so here's the thing. The best way you can do in all you're getting, get a what?
Understanding.
And that is key to being able to survive. Because here's the thing. You'll be amazed, and I know you're really not amazed. There's a lot of cults out there right now that have literally taken the word of God and they've misquoted it so that they can build on that religion. And that's exactly what it is. It's a religion. We have to be careful of religion. There's a couple of books I got here. One of them is The Mind of Jesus by William Barclay. And then there's another one I have, Misquoting Jesus. And those are good reads, because you'll be amazed at the things that people will say amen to. And then if you don't study, you go down the road with that. Here's two things I need you to be clear on. Please don't think that you get to tell God, well, Lord, that's what they told me, and I went on that. Because when you stand before the Lord, the first thing he's going to say is what? What's he going to tell you?
What are you doing?
He gave us his word. He has given us his word.
He said, I've told you to study to show yourself
approved.
2 Timothy 2:15.
What you say? So always remember, please be careful. And listen, I'm talking about me too. When I'm teaching this class, I'm not going to sit here and hey, let's do it together. Let's study together. Go back and redo it. Go back and reread it. Because there's always, and y'all hear me say this all the time, there's always more meat on the bone.
Yes, sir.
Always. Always. And when it get good, you get to the marrow bone. Some of y'all, yes, sir.
My apologies. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. Go.
I think this verse also shows that Jesus was in it for the long haul. He was here to experience the human experience so that he would know what was affecting humans. Because here, he could have easily turned those rocks into bread, just as he turned water into wine and he multiplied fish and bread twice. But he was dead set on going through the human experience. He wasn't going to take any shortcuts. So he wanted to go all the way through that human experience so that his sacrifice meant that much more. If the Jews saw him throw himself off a mountain here and the angels saved him, they're like, well, he's just performing tricks. He turned rocks into bread. But the fact that he went through everything, he experienced everything that humans experience, but he didn't fall to that temptation, made that sacrifice mean all the much more.
Amen. That's the key.
Amen.
Satan was trying to lessen his impact. Because had he had done any of those things, like you said, Brother Nelson, he'd done this stuff on many occasions. I mean, here it is. Jesus said, and we talked about this earlier on, because we picked Jesus up at 30, please don't think at 30 was the only time he was doing things and wanting stuff. He was doing stuff, but he kept saying, it's not my time. You remember that? It's not my time. And most of the time, when he was saying it's not my time, he was saying it's not time to move to the next phase. But he was still healing. If you go back and really read on him, Jesus was doing a lot of things. Because here's the misconception: we think that Jesus came from the manger to 12, nothing happened. We think he went from 12 to 30 and nothing happened, and then from 30 to 33. And a half, and then everything happened. No, Satan knew that Jesus was on a mission. Because what did he say? He said he told his mother, he said, I'm about my father's business. Does that sound like somebody that's not doing anything?
No, I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about that. So he said, of course you couldn't say that to your mama these days. He said, woman. Yeah, you say that to your mama and she knocked your teeth out. Woman, looking for me? Why are you worried about me? I'm about my father's business. Now, because his mother knew who he was, she understood what he was saying. Mm-hmm. But she still made him get in that buggy and go back with them. I hear you, Jesus. Get in the buggy, boy. We done come back here a day and a half looking for you. Come on. And he was obedient.
Mm-hmm.
But he was blowing their mind because he's sitting in the synagogue with all these doctorates and all these boys with all these big shot degrees, and he and they're teaching them, and they're sitting there going, who is this boy?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know they was talking to the very Son of God.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. I tell people this all the time. God uses all of us. And he uses us in such unique ways that the very people we write off be the very people that God sent in our life to help us get through life. But because they don't look like what the church told us we need to look like, you miss your blessing.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
We write off people based on their outer appearance.
Yeah. That's right.
And that's what Satan counts on. That's why the Bible uses the wolf in sheep clothing. The wolf in sheep clothing is a simple representation of that. Just like the angels come unaware, so does the devil or Satan or whatever you like to call him. I just call him a liar because that's all he is.
That's all he is.
That's all he is. That's what he does. Deep, all that. So at the end of the day, you have to be careful how we approach people, especially here's the thing that's heartbreaking. As Jesus was healing, think about this now, as he was literally healing and he was doing all these things, they were calling him everything but doing magic. It's got to be something wrong. What's going
that's
on?
What they think.
And they were
Yes. So
the whole time, Satan had them trick people into trying to discredit. Again, that's why he took them up here. And Brother Nelson, you said it very well. The fact that he told him, hey, listen, man, I know you can do the beat, misquoting all over the place, on purpose, by the way. And he says, listen, you know, man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay? He ain't saying out of my mouth. Out of the mouth of God. So Satan was letting him know that the actual, you know, what's coming to you is coming from my Father. Here's verse 5. Verse 5 says, and the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Now, and he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And y'all already talked about that in Psalms 91, 11, and 12. Because Psalm 91, 11, 12 says, he shall give his angels charge over thee, not concerning thee, over thee. Just listen. The very thing that he did in the garden, he's doing again, isn't he? Very thing. Just twisted. He didn't say he was really going to die. Did he really say he was going to die? No. Better go back and read it. That's why it's so important for us to understand that at the end of the day, she was basically saying amen. When she agreed, she was basically saying amen. So I tell you, you go back and read that before you ask him. I don't know. I'll get back with you. Okay? So here we go. We talked about the concern, and he said, then you put a dash. And so he said, listen, he said, I'm not doing that. And so what I want you to get, it's always look at what's omitted. When somebody's talking to you from the Word of God, you pick that Bible up, and if you can't get to it right then, you say, well, let me get back with you. And you study it, and then you get back with it. Watch this. Jesus said to him, sir, it is written again. This is verse 7. And so I love the way Jesus handled it. He went right back. He already said it is written. Now he's saying it is written again. So he's letting them know, hey, man, here we go again. You still trying to do this. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Okay? Christ is the living word. That's the commentary. Christ is the living word. He is the scripture. And that is why there's no way he could be tripped up by Satan. This is what tickled me, is Satan is literally trying to trip up the word with the word.
Yes.
Using the word.
He's trying to trip up the word.
Yes.
With the word. Come on. Know this, that Satan will tempt you also exactly as he has tempted Jesus. This is more commentary. If you have a weakness, Satan will find it. And if you be bought, listen, and if you can be bought, then Satan will pay the price to get you. I want to read that again. If you can be bought, then Satan will pay the price to get you. For he is the prince of this world. Y'all said it earlier. And he's offering the Cainites and his offspring, I'm sorry. And the Cainites are in control of the dynasties of this world. However, when you set the course that is given in the Bible, then God's spirit will protect your every path. That is the key right there. Listen, the one thing we must understand, however, when you set the course that is given in the Bible, then God's spirit will protect you, will protect your every path. So he's telling you, stick with the word of God. Stick with the word of God. Remember, I told you, long before you ever became Baptist, you were called the people of what?
The Bible.
What would you call? You were called the people of the book. You were called the people of the book long before you were called Baptist. Baptist came on later. And the reason you were called people of the book, because you didn't deviate at all. You wasn't going to inherit it. And then all of a sudden we allowed different customs to infiltrate what we know is right. And that's how we let Satan in. Watch this. This is Jesus' answer to Satan. Jesus, again, it is quoting from the word of God. And that passage is found in Deuteronomy 6 and 16. However, let's start with verse 15. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. 15 says, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Messiah. Messiah in the Hebrew text is the desert. Okay? So the desert. What are we talking about in the desert? When the Israelites were leaving Egypt.
Leaving Egypt.
There was all kind of things going on and all kind of stuff. You know Moses, let me tell you something. Moses caught it with them folks.
Yes, because
everybody left there wasn't a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Some people were just along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be careful of who's along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Complaining, murmuring. God, listen, the sad part about it is God will provide for us and we are still complaining. Got food, still complaining. Got water, still complaining. Got a roof over your head, still complaining. Got shoes on your feet, still complaining. Clothes on your back, still complaining. Come on, somebody. Still complaining. Put yourself in that position. How would it feel if you're doing everything you can for somebody and all they can do is complain? I know you bought me clothes, but I don't like these. I know you got me a house, but I don't like this. I know you got me a car, but I don't like this car. I know you bought food, but I don't want that. How long are you going to keep doing it? But here's God. Even in our complaining, even in our in all the stuff we go against the grain, he still keeps blessing us. Still keeps protecting us. Still keeps delivering us. Still keeps healing us. still keeps bringing us out. Verse 8 says, again, the devil take him up to an exceeding high mountain, showing him the kingdom of the world. And y'all talked about that earlier, because at the end of the day, he is the, and most people don't want to accept the fact that Satan is the god of this world. So he has the power to move things and do things. And so you have to be careful what you say. Okay?
Yes, you do.
Here's what,
yes,
I want you to be careful. The words that are coming out of your mouth, be careful what you say, because they will manifest. Always remember this. The word of God says, so a man thinketh, so he
is.
So he is.
So he is.
So if you already, if you already think somebody's stealing, that's how you think. Yeah, I don't mean I think like that. That's how you're thinking.
Yes.
Oh, they're always trying to get over. That's because you think like that. Oh, they ain't living right. That's because you think like that. That don't mean that's who I am. That's it. Listen, the Bible don't lie. So a man thinketh, so he is.
So he is.
So we're in the image, and watch this. And here's some more commentary on verse 8. And it says, we are in the age now that this verse is very important to us. This verse documents that Satan is the head of the fourth and final kingdom that we're referred to as the Daniel image. This is the non-descripted beast. It is none other than Satan himself, because the nations of all the world were not even known at this time. Isn't that something? For all nations will be one. This verse is looking to the future, even in the final generation. What do we talk about? New world order, one world order. I know y'all been hearing about this forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So here we are, way over there. Satan is still trying to pull this off, and he's gonna. Do you know? I think it's Russia. Russia has now, I think they've discontinued the U.S. currency. I think they just it's no longer value. It has no value no more in Russia. This was recent.
Yes, that's true.
Listen. All of these things that are happening around us, this pandemic and all of these things that are happening, trust me, it is fulfilled. The Bible is fulfilling itself.
Yes, sir.
And the one thing you've heard me say this, I know most of y'all heard me say this, there's no child of God that should be surprised about what's going on around us right now. Because God has been telling us this. He told us in Revelations. He's been telling us all through the Bible, this is coming.
Yes, he
is. And right now, here we are. We're going into the one worldism. And that is a fact. The entire world will be part of that system, the new world order, the one world order. Okay?
That's it.
All the power of the world will soon be wrapped up into one big lump with Satan at the head. Listen, when Satan shows his world kingdom to you, will it be tempting to take part in it? God's elect. And who's God's elect?
We are.
God's elect will see it for what it is, just as Jesus did. And our response to Satan will be the same that we will see Jesus giving here. Okay? Again, take him up, and Jesus said, listen, he said, I don't want to hear none of this. Watch Jesus said, and he says unto him all these things, and Satan said to him, all these things I will give thee if thou will fall down and worship me. And watch Jesus. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve.
Only.
So he let them know, man, go ahead on. You ain't got nothing I want. You can't tempt me, but let me tell you something. Always know this, and I need us to really get this in our head. God can give us anything we ask for. He told you, if you ask for it in His name,
in Jesus,
he'll give it to you. He can't lie. But watch this, y'all. Do we, even if we have it, do we always give our children everything they ask for?
No.
No, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that?
It's up to us to protect them from themselves.
It might not be good for them.
There you go.
They don't
all
know
y'all
it
had
yet.
The right answers. They don't understand. Would you give your 5-year-old the keys to your car and say, go ahead, go to town?
No.
That's all I'm saying. When we pray for stuff, understand that God has said, listen, he's going to say no. He's going to say wait. And then he's going to say, well, I got a better idea. The one thing that I had to come to grips with in my life is that I used to get frustrated about being delayed. I had an intense pet peeve about that. If I'm held up, I'm angry. I'm hanging. Oh, Jesus, I could have been this way. And I realized that, wait a minute, God's delaying me to deliver me.
Amen.
Let me tell y'all something. Yesterday I loaded up, and I leave Birmingham, Alabama. And in my head, I already knew how far I was going to get. I knew how many hours I had to run, and I'm running along and everything. In my head, I got my gospel music on, and I'm riding. And the first car come by me, I see them put on their emergency flashes, and they're pointing. But they jumped off the exit, so, I'm still rolling. I'm looking at my gauges. There's nothing going on that would indicate that there's a problem. The next car pulls up beside me. They get up beside me. They wind the window down and say, hey, you got something dragging under your truck. I pull over. Now, a blown tire is common. That's just what it is. But this tire blew and literally blew the brake chamber off the doggone truck. Now, had I have been still going, that thing would have, once it come off, because the only thing was holding it on there was the lines, and it's dragging on the ground. When it comes off, it's going to lock up and catch fire. Here's how good God is. Once I get on the side of the road, I realize what I got, and I think I was talking to Brother Nelson at the time. I pulled the bungee cord up, and I got it up. I told him, I said, man, I'll call you later. I pulled it up, got it on where I could get it off the ground, and the Lord fixed it where the next fuel stop was 7 miles away.
Wow.
I was able to creep that truck at 45 miles an hour, get it over there, and listen, it gets better. The only parking spot in two truck stops was next to the garage.
What a God.
So don't tell me God don't... Now, I'm fussing because I'm like, this way I'm going to be. No, I said, no, God, no. Because I got held up in the mill, and we were trying to help a young man get his load tied down. Little did I know that delay was my deliverance. Because had I got out of there, ain't no telling where that would have happened at, and I could have been in the middle of nowhere.
Yes, you could. What a God.
Now, by the time they got me, I told my wife what was going on, and by the time they got me done, it was midnight. But I wasn't on the side of the road. I was in a safe place, and everybody came out and done their job. What I'm trying to get you to see is God will never leave you.
Never leave you.
No matter what. Listen, we get upset. Well, Lord, I'm running late. No, you're not. You're right on schedule.
You're right on schedule.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, I should have been here. No, you're right on schedule.
Hallelujah.
So see, he says, I protect you from danger seen and what?
Unseen.
Things that you don't even notice happening. He's making a way. He's moving stuff around. He's fixing stuff. That's why Jesus had to come and go through this temptation. And y'all talked about it earlier. He had to feel everything we were going to deal with. And then, watch this, and showed us how to get rid of it and get out of it simply by using the word of God. Jesus never used any other strategy, did he? No other tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he combated the devil and battled Satan with was already written. And he reminded him, it is written. And then he got sporty with him in verse 7. He said, it is written again. Otherwise, you say, let me tell you again, man. The same stuff I just told you. It's written again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
That's right.
But here's what's unique about that scripture. He's not saying you shouldn't tempt me. He said you shouldn't tempt my Father.
God.
Watch this. Because when you messing with me, you're messing with my Father.
Mm-hmm.
So when watch this. When the devil is messing with you, he's messing with your Father. And your Father ain't going to have it.
Wow, thank you, Lord.
When he's bothering with you, God is saying, I done told you to leave my child alone.
Told you to leave alone.
Thank you.
Yeah, I done told you, don't touch my children. Didn't I tell you about bothering my child?
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he said, I will make your enemies
your
footstool.
Don't bother my child.
See, listen, don't bother my child. Don't do that.
That's why
he
said.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Be careful. Listen. Hallelujah. Always know. We don't know. When you talk about first people and you put them down, God hears that.
Yes, he does.
And he said the same. Watch this. Here's what he said. He said the same measure that you judge them, you're going to be judged with. The same measure.
Amen.
So be careful, because that's dangerous. Show them all the kingdoms. Yes, sir.
On the simplest level, we dived into this and we've read a commentary about this, but on the simplest level in this chapter, one thing that we can see is every day we're tempted by TV, radio, drugs, alcohol, men, women, money, whatever the case may be. Here it is, our Lord and Savior is being tempted by Satan in person, and he had the power to persevere.
God Almighty.
Now,
that's power.
Wow.
Yes.
Pastor, can I add to what Brother Nelson just said?
Absolutely.
Everything that Satan tried to tempt Jesus with, Jesus did it. He turned the bread. He took the bread, what, the 2 loaves of bread, and he fed how many? So we know God Jesus was able.
Right.
And then when he told him, he offered him all the kingdoms of the earth, Jesus did receive all power in heaven and earth. And then when he told him to throw himself, God resurrected him. So he didn't have to test, Jesus didn't have to test the Father's strength and power by throwing himself according to Satan, because he already knew who he was and whom his was, and that he would be resurrected again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so everything that Jesus went through, he was already able and had the power to overcome it, and that's the same thing with us. Every test that come our way, God has already equipped us to overcome it. We just got to, as Pastor Wood said, be patient and wait for our turn.
And that's what we don't know how to do. Be patient and wait.
Now, let me tell you something. And listen, I'll be the first to tell you that patience is definitely not one of my strong suits.
It's hard.
Yeah, I ain't been sitting there, I'm so patient. And I tell people all the time, you say, you got to pray for patience. You better not. Because you're going to be tested. You pray for patience,
yes,
you are going to be tested.
Yes, sir.
And that
yes,
ain't
sir.
What you want.
No, sir.
That's why you have to be careful what you pray for. Oh, I'm going to pray for this.
Yes,
pray. No. I need God's will, not my will.
Yes.
Because I'm going to mess up. Yes, ma'am.
That's why I pray for victory.
I got a little paragraph I like to read. And
all
it
right.
said, Jesus able to resist all Satan temptation because he not only knew the scripture, he obeyed it. Ephesians 6:17 says that God's word is a sword for us in spiritual combat. Knowing the Bible verse is an important step in helping us resist Satan attack, but we must also obey the Bible. Notice that Satan has memorized scripture, but he failed to obey it. Knowing and obeying the Bible help us follow God's desires rather than Satan.
Amen.
I like that.
Yes,
amen.
Obedience.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. That's good.
Amen.
We got to know how to say it is written. You know, like Jesus was telling Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And it is written, you know, different things he was saying, it is written. And this is what we got to know these scriptures and have them in our hearts. So when somebody come up to us to try to tempt us, then we can say it is written. God said we shall not live by bread alone, but by every mm-hmm. word that we speak out of the word of God, of the mouth of God.
Now, Sister Robbie, you said it. We've got to know scripture.
Yes, ma'am.
We've got to know scripture. And one more thing that we have to understand, as I was thinking about what Satan was saying to Jesus, he said his most subtle lie is this. Oh, you can just do this one time. Nobody's going to know it. No, mm-hmm. just one time you can do it. No one's going to know this. We're way up in this mountain. They don't see you. Go ahead, Jesus, do it. Nobody's going to know you did it. Go ahead, just do it. But he also makes it sound really easy, and he doesn't know God doesn't work that way. He wants you to have the best, and only the best
right.
has to come the right way.
The right way.
So be careful.
We got to know the word.
Nobody's going to know you did it.
Right.
Nobody knows.
We got to hide it in our heart.
Yet the written word will tell you that's not the way.
Hello?
Amen. Here's the thing that I love about verse 10. And then it said, and then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, I love this commentary. It said, here it is again, friend. Our defense is from the word of God.
Yes,
this is
sir.
Why we need to get used to standing on it. Look what it says now. Our defense is from the word of God. This is why we need to get used to standing on it. Standing on the
mm-hmm.
word of God.
Mm-hmm.
This again comes from Deuteronomy 6 and 13. Even though it looks on the surface, this is why I get excited here, that Satan has complete control over the entire earth. Watch this. In the name of Jesus, we have power over Satan and all of his forces. In the name of Jesus. That power comes from the Holy Spirit of God that came down and entered Jesus at the baptism. Remember that?
Remember? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's why it was important for Jesus to be baptized. Because, see, watch this. When he was baptized, now the heavens opened up, the Holy Spirit ascended like a dove, and now the Holy Spirit was upon him. And that means that it was now officially here.
All right.
Remember, there was always a bigger revelation to what Jesus is doing. Most people, when you think about the baptism, oh, when Jesus got baptized, no. When he got baptized, the heavens opened. And God spoke himself. Imagine standing there and hearing God speak. The Holy Spirit, of course, descended. And now it was there. Watch this. That power comes from the Holy Spirit of God that came down and entered Jesus at the baptism. And there is no power anywhere that has authority over him. When we repent and call on the name of Jesus, we have that power.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
When we repent and call on the name of Jesus, we have the power to summon angels, and the Holy Spirit shows up and protects us and keeps us from hurt, harm, and danger, and keeps us from all things. And listen, even when there's things going on around us, the Holy Spirit is interceding. And it's making sure that everything is all right. You'll be amazed at what the Holy Spirit is doing all the time. That's why Jesus said, like, when I go, I'm going to leave a comforter. And sometimes we have to realize we've got to thank God for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm right here with you. I'm right here. You worried, and I'm right here. You crying, and I'm right here. You toss it and turn it, and I'm right here.
Yes, Lord.
Mankind gets confused over who Jesus is. God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Okay? We know that they're all one. And guess what? And the demons know it too.
Yes.
They know exactly who he is. And let me tell you something. They submit completely to God upon his authority. God allows them to exist and tempt man. However, man has free will. This is where we need to understand this. We have free will to choose whom he will. And at the point in time, God's choosing, they will be destroyed. The thing we have to be careful, please don't take free will for granted.
Hallelujah.
The beautiful thing about free will, God says, I want you to choose me because you love me. Not because I woke you up this morning still in your right mind, blood still running warm in your back. Not because I fed you. Not because I put a roof over. I want you to just, listen, choose me because you love me.
Because of who he is.
Because of who he is.
Yes, yes. Not what he can do for you, but who he is.
See, listen, I like the old song by Sending Up the Timber. You know, the song says a lot when you think about it. In other words, you don't have to wait for the trouble to come to praise God. If you still
No, you don't.
And listen, here's what we do every day at noon, Monday through Friday. We set up timber. Monday through Friday, we tell God, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Lord. Mother Reed sang the song, Thank You, Lord.
Thank you.
You've been so good to me. She opens up saying, Lord, I thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You've been so good to me. That's a powerful song in and of itself. That's a powerful testimony just to say, Lord, I thank you. Not I want something. Not I need something. I just thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
You've been so good. I just need to tell you. Let me tell you something. Don't it feel good when you bless somebody and they tell you thank you?
Yeah.
Don't it feel good? And I ain't talking about just, I thank you. No, when they really mean it. When they tell you thank you, they mean it.
Oh, yeah.
That's how God feels.
Thank you.
When we say, Lord, I thank you and mean it, guess what? He gives you more, don't he?
Yes,
think about it. He keeps blessing you with more.
Yes, because
you know what? He knows your praise is real. He knows you're not putting on a show to try to impress. Your praise is real.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
See, listen. Your praise is good when you're in a crowd, but when it's most effective is when you're by yourself.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
When it's just you and God. Because God is, mm-hmm. he's a very, listen, God likes an intimate relationship. He likes a relationship where it's just you and him. Just you and him. Sometimes just sing to him when it's just you and him. Sometimes just talk to him when it's just you and him.
Yes.
Late in the midnight hour, just say, Lord, I thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Here it is.
Yes, Lord.
And Satan had to leave Jesus alone. Because verse 11 says, Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. After Jesus ordered Satan away, the angels came and ministered to Jesus. He hadn't had food for the past 40 days. Ministers does not mean that they preach to him, but tended to his physical needs. I need somebody to get happy right there. When you ministering to somebody, it don't mean you're preaching to them. It means that you're seeing about their physical needs. Are you all right? Do you need some water? Do you need some food? Do you need me to go to the store for you? Do you need me to help you clean up? What do you need? Notice that the first one that Christ ministered to was Satan. And now that this role of Satan is over, in the end of the millennium age, Satan will be turned to ashes in the pits of hell and be gone forever. I need you to understand that. It just look, you fought through everything you've been through. You're still fighting. We're coming down the final stretch. This is the final run. This is where it's going to get tough and tempting, and all of these things are happening. It's around us now because Satan is making his final push. And the final push is going to be a mess. We ain't seen nothing yet.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what's happening around us. You talked about the day on noonday prayer. People are being evicted after they done paid their money.
Yes, sir.
Everywhere you look right now, man, the places are shutting down. Walmarts are shutting down because they got to do cleaning because somebody done got COVID. And now you got, you know, the schools are starting to, and here these people walking around as if they don't care. Satan has tricked them into believing that they don't need to even protect themselves anymore.
That's what he's doing. That's what he's
and the doing. Thing that I, listen, it's one thing that you don't want to protect yourself, but don't you kill me in the process.
Amen.
Yes.
If you don't want to do nothing for yourself, then you go over there in your little corner and you be in that corner. But don't be walking around here. You ain't got no man. Then you want to get up in my face. No, you go somewhere with that.
Please.
God gave all of us common sense. He, listen, at the end of the day, as Christians, we know what we see. He just told you, don't tell God with that foolishness. I got faith. You better have on your mask with your faith. Have that mask on, too, while you got your faith. Wash your hands while you got your faith. Don't go out that door if you ain't got to go out that door. Mother Smiley said all the time, ain't no more hugging. Stop all that.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Because let me tell you something. There's some evil people in the world that are be sick, know they sick, and won't tell you and make you sick on purpose.
They sure will.
The devil don't care. When he done got in your head and your mind, you'll try anything. All I tell him to do is try Jesus. Before you try anything else, try Jesus. And the devil leave him. And behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. I challenge every one of us tonight. Just hold on to God's unchanging hand. I promise you that the angels are ministering to you right now. That's why you've been, that's why no matter what you go through, you come out all right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why you keep getting them good doctor reports. Every time you go to the doctor and you come back, and I hear y'all talk about it every time.
Yes, sir.
Because, listen, God knows when you're true to your word. God knows when you're true to your walk. Because we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes, Lord.
Continue to walk by faith, family. No matter what, I listen, at the end of the day, we got each other and God got us all.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We stay together as a family. We pray together as a family. We grow together as a family. We study as a family. We worship as a family. And no matter what we do, we put God first.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Everything we do, put God first. Like Jesus said, not my will, but thy will.
Yes, yes.
I want whatever God's will in my life, for my life, whatever it is for my life, whatever it is for my children, whatever it is for my wife, whatever it is for my family. The will of God is important because the will of God will protect them.
Yes, sir.
But all we got to do is be obedient to the word of God. That's what we see. Somebody said that earlier. The biggest thing out of everything we've read in these first 10 verses was out of all his temptation, he was obedient.
Yes, he was.
He had the power to do anything he wanted to. But he was obedient. Please, like a buddy of mine like to say, don't get it twisted. Jesus could have took him out. Jesus could have took Satan and let him out.
You could have.
Yeah, he can't say to know it. But Satan also knows that Jesus is very disciplined and he's obedient. So he knows that Jesus is going to pull off the will of God. Satan's goal was to try to get him to deviate from it just so he can lessen his effort. Because he could, listen, He knew Jesus was still going to the cross. He was just trying to make sure that by the time he got there, it didn't have the power that it has now. So I want you to understand when the Word of God says, take up your cross and follow me. That cross could be whatever your trouble is.
My Lord.
But you got to keep following him.
Mm-hmm.
That cross could be your sickness, but you got to keep following him.
Amen.
That cross could be whatever it is. I think we're going to talk about that Sunday, I believe. I believe we're going to talk about the cross Sunday. I just feel it in my spirit because we need to understand that when he said, take up your cross and follow me. See, understand this. Your cross is an affliction. The cross wasn't nothing nice.
Mm-mm.
If you can, watch this, if you can serve him with your cross, imagine what you can do when you don't have that cross and you have your crown.
Oh, yeah.
Because, see, you trade your cross for your crown.
Yeah.
If you can praise him with your cross, imagine what will happen with your crown.
Yeah.
Because there's a song that says, no cross.
No crown.
No crown.
No crown.
No crown.
With that being said, tonight I'm going to close Bible study. If anyone has anything to share with the class, the floor is open. Any final thoughts? Yes, ma'am.
Pastor, is Miss Howard, is Miss Howard on tonight?
I think so.
She was almost 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, sure.
I need y'all to add. Well, Miss Thomas, you got something right. I need y'all to add some names to your sick list. The Munford and Armstrong family, that was a niece, and the Watson family, she was an employee, and she died last night, and she has real small children, and they really need our prayers. This COVID is not playing, I'm telling y'all, it is not. Please add his names to y'all when y'all do y'all noonday prayer. Thank you.
Ms. Moffat.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you repeat those names, please?
The Munford and Armstrong family. Armstrong, Munford and Armstrong family. And the Watson.
Armstrong and Watson. Okay, Watson. Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Anyone else? Mr. Blue, are you on?
Yes, I am.
All right. I'd like for you to bless us with a prayer and ask our benediction, if you would.
Yes.
The floor is yours.
I want to say, first of all, to those families that the sister just mentioned, it's so sad and so hurtful. In Florida, we're losing people by the droves, and one of my first cousins lost his sister-in-law today. My brother's a principal. Lost one of his teachers, 32 years old, to COVID. In Lake City, Florida, Friday and Saturday, lost 8 black people to COVID. And yet people are not wearing masks, not washing their hands, as Bishop said, and not taking this seriously. And so I just want, as I pray, I'm going to ask you all to pray too, because you know more people than I know. And we need to pray one for another. Bishop Woods, I thank you for a beautiful lesson taught. I thank the Peter Church for joining in and always encouraging me when I join in. I'm so encouraged until I just don't know what to do. I'm not jealous. I'm just happy that you all are.
Hallelujah.
Well, in tune with your pastor's vision and his pastor's wife. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we have come tonight in the humblest manner that we know how to thank you. For you
thank
are worthy of all praise. You are worthy of all glory. You are worthy of all praise.
Do you? Yes, you
and
are.
God, we thank you for the word tonight. We recognize that we too, if you were tempted, we will be tempted as well. But God, we thank you for saying man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So God, I pray that we will take the time to learn scriptures verbatim, that when Satan comes, we are able to regurgitate back to him the words that you have already spoken. We thank you tonight. We thank you because you are worthy of all our praise. And God, you reminded us in the Psalms that we will bless the Lord at all times, and praise shall continually be in our mouth.
Yes.
God, help us to be ready whenever you call our name. We pray for those families that were named, those little children now who don't have a mother. Those families who have lost loved ones all over the lands and countries, oh God, help them to learn to lean
and help us
to heal from whence cometh our help. Help us to be the soldiers that are ready for battle, God. Oh God, put the Lord Spirit in our hearts and in our minds and in our walk and in our talk. That talk about the word, that we live the word, that we eat the word, that we believe the word, that we talk about the word day and night, God. We need the word, Father. We need your divine protection in this dangerous world. We're in the midst of a pandemic where we're losing people that we know and losing people that we don't know all over the lands and countries.
Help us to be wise in all our ways.
Help us to pray always, not to cease from praying. Help us, Father, to live lives where our lights can shine, that men, women, boys, and girls might see our glory. God, we love you tonight. Have your way in our lives. Do what you want to do with us. Baptize us in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Baptize us in the Holy Ghost again and again. God, to touch us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Touch us again and again and again and again, because we need your touch. Hallelujah tonight.
Glory to God.
We need your power. We need your power. Help us to pray when we don't feel like praying. Help us to preach, sing, and worship you. Oh,
yes, Lord.
God, we're getting closer to our demise, closer to our end. God, help us to be on our knees. Just want you to kiss us to sleep, and when we wake up in Beulah Land, we want to hear your welcome voice saying, "Servant of God, well done."
Oh, God.
These children all over the lands and countries that's back in school, God, give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yes,
help them to wear them. Keep them safe, God. We pray for families. We pray for Pastor Woods, his wife. Oh, God, we pray for the church at St. Peter's. We pray for all churches. Remember the church I pastor, St. James, God. Oh, God, just have mercy right now. Oh, God, we need power. And, God, when you touch us, we'll know it's you, because nobody can touch us like you.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Yes, Lord.
And when life teaches us, and we must stick our swords in the golden sands of time, never to study war anymore. Over there, no more crying. Over there, no more dying. No more medicines. But every day will be holy, holy, holy. Sabbath or hell, no more. In Jesus' holy name, we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Now let the words of
God
accept it in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and redeemer, in Jesus' name. And every heart that loves the Lord, say amen.
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 Hallelujah to it.
Amen. Bless you all.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you, Bishop.
God bless you, my brother.
All right. Yes, sir. Thank you for joining us. Everyone, please be safe. And we'll look to hear from you all at noon tomorrow. God bless you. Pastor Roger James, thank you for joining us. He won't say nothing, but he texted me and let me know he's on there. He is the pastor of New Nature in Jacksonville, Florida. God bless you. God keep you is my prayer.
Amen.